This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 599 in the series. This session shares part of the Franklin, Mass. Town Council meeting held on Wednesday, September 1, 2021. The meeting was conducted in a hybrid format. Members of the Town Council and Town Administration personnel, many of the police promotion and new hires, along with their guests and family members, were in the council chambers. Some members of the public participated via the Zoom conference bridge, all to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. I've split just about 4 hour session into two logical segments. First, covers the opening, the police promotions, new hires, and then the public hearing on the downtown zoning item. The break after the police ceremonies was excluded from this audio section. That goes about 59 minutes. In the second segment, this covers the balance of the meeting, their entry to the executive session, and then the return to the open meeting about 40 minutes later. It covers about 1 hour and 8 minutes. Obviously, the executive session time has not been recorded. It is not available. It is executive session. The show notes contain links to the meeting agenda. Let's listen to the Town Council meeting of September 1, 2021.
Next order of business, license transactions. We don't have any this evening. Presentations and discussion. Aaron McGuire for Superintendent of Schools from Tri-County Regional Vocational School. Jamie, would you like to lead in?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I had the distinct pleasure. Alicia and I went up in July. We knew that the previous superintendent, Mr. Dockery, was retiring after many years up in Tri-County. I know many of you, if not all of you, know Steve quite well. I joked, I went up there on July, whatever day the meeting was, and Steve was in a pair of shorts, a loose polo shirt. I could see the back of his teeth. The smile was huge. He looked really happy. I don't blame him. But he was doing his transitionary meetings with the new superintendent. When I saw her hire, I obviously wanted to try to build a relationship because I know the relationship with Tri-County is an extraordinary valuable one that many people in this community, if not everybody, really values very much, and wanted to invite Superintendent McGuire down to the town council meeting to have an introduction to everybody here and just allow anybody to ask any questions as she gets settled. And one of the things that Alicia and I learned is that Karen here has made it certainly a priority to become available throughout the community, wants to build relationships outside certainly the Tri-County community, throughout all of Franklin and the region. And as we were talking, we thought maybe it would be good as the school year got started to have her come by a meeting and take any questions and just give her a very warm welcome to the community. And we're very excited to work with her and her team. So with that as a background, I'll let you take it over, Mr. Joe. The superintendent's speak.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'd like to also thank Dr. Peter Wernicke for accompanying me here today. I somewhat feel like I've intruded on my cousin's family meeting, just since being an Irish person with a lot of emotion, you know, where I grew up. But it is comforting to me to see that there are people that are very connected to the community and care very much about what happens in the town of Franklin, and I think that that's a very important thing. So I commend your community for that. So I'm thankful for the opportunity, and thank you, Jamie, for inviting me here tonight. As you know, I'm the new superintendent at Tri-County. I've been in the superintendency since the beginning of July. As I begin my tenure as a superintendent director, it is my pleasure to extend my commitment to you on behalf of Tri-County to continue to work with the leadership in Franklin, delivering outstanding education to the students in the area and to providing service to the community of Franklin at large. Tri-County offers 16 career and technical programs to students in grades 9 through 12, with additional programmings for adult ed, post-secondary, and additional community programming as well. As superintendent, over the next several months, I'll be dedicating my time to collecting and synthesizing information from stakeholders within and around and outside of the Tri-County school community, including visits with the town administrators, just like I had with Jamie. Overall, my transition is focused on identifying the strengths of the district, the systems and the traditions that are in place that should be protected and enhanced, and the district's more important and acute challenges through both the high school and the adult education programs. I'm entering this critical role after an unprecedented year for public education and, dare I say, public service, which we've all been challenged nationwide. And again, I commend you on just this evening's handling of what your meeting was like. We've all been faced with challenges such as that, and certainly it doesn't seem like it's ending anytime soon. But certainly for us, we're hoping to address the very short and long-term impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic that it's had on our students and our school community. But I also know that we have a great deal to celebrate at Tri-County, and I'm proud to be serving in that capacity as well. The students at the Tri-County community are educated by a strong team of leaders, teachers, and staff, supported by wonderful parents and wonderful towns that they come from. And they really value the role that education plays in shaping their future. And again, I thank you for inviting me here tonight. Thank you for extending the invitation. I look forward to working with you and developing the partnership with Tri-County and Franklin over the years to come.
Thank you,
Kim.
Questions or comments? Councilor Chandler.
Through you, Mr. Chairman. Hi, Superintendent McGuire.
Hello.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
I have two, I would say, attaboys and one question. First is, I think most people in Franklin really know how well that school is kept up. And I'm sure that's one of the first things you noticed when you took the job, that it's immaculate in there. So we really appreciate that because it saves a lot of money. And with some people, I looked this up, might not know, I believe you guys help us pay for half a police officer.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's, we thank you for that too. Yeah. That's good teamwork.
Yeah, it's wonderful to have the cooperation with the police department. Yeah, I think it's an important thing for our students to see, certainly.
And now the question. I was a neighbor of yours for over 25 years, and you know, at the high school here in Franklin, everyone can use the track. It's open, it's welcoming. At Tri-County, it's almost like all the neighbors and the residents, you know, you guys lock the gates at, say, 5 o'clock. The weekends, you can't use it. Do you have any plans of letting us use that at all, or?
Yeah, so the problem we have right now is the track is not usable. Just to make sure that we're all aware of that. Yeah, it's cracked. We have to play our track and field events elsewhere. But yes, I mean, certainly as we move forward with our building and some improvements that we need to make, yeah, I agree with you 100%. I mean, when I had my interview for the superintendency, I expressed that one of the things I felt most important is that Tri-County needs to be sort of the center of this area. It's geographically located in a perfect place, you know, in this part of Massachusetts, and certainly we can contribute in a lot of positive ways.
Yeah. Thank you, yeah, because it's really convenient for all the neighbors. There's a lot of neighbors right there. We can all just walk up there, that's why.
Yeah. But when you said you were my neighbor, I thought you meant in my house, and I was like, oh boy.
You're in trouble now.
Is it my dog? Yeah. Okay.
I was on Rolling Ridges, right down that big hill. Yeah. Okay, thank you, Superintendent.
Thank you,
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilor Chandler. Councilor Hamblin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through the chair, welcome, Superintendent McGuire.
Thank you.
So you have 60, I just have a question about the programs. You have 16 programs there at the school. I was wondering if you had thought already, I know you're pretty new, but if you're thinking about maybe adding another program or what you'd like to see change.
So yes, I think that we're looking at all of that right now, and certainly once we're moving out of the pandemic and what the needs in the area would be for employment, those would certainly be things that we take into consideration for future programming. We'll be working with the Mass Hire organization, of course, and Chamber of Commerce to identify what areas we need to be able to focus on for both students of the high school age and adult ed, and those, you know, even some retraining opportunities.
Excellent. That's wonderful. I've taken the adult ed there. I've taken a few welding classes, so
excellent.
I find that's really fun. So I ask everybody to try some kind of class up there. It's really interesting. Yeah. Well, thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilor Hamblin. Councilor Jones?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Superintendent McGuire, thank you for coming in tonight and meeting us and having dinner with us at
kids.
Family dinner.
And they actually are really, we really are a happy family. We have our ups and downs, but it's a positive always across the board. You taking the helm at Tri-County is another positive. I'm looking forward to the direction that Tri-County goes. It is an excellent vocational school. It serves all the many communities in our area very, very well. It serves a population of our student population in ways that I think many people don't even realize. It is such a positive for those who feel that a regular traditional school may not be their best choice. Or just academic, they might feel vocation might be a better choice for them. Like myself in electricity, I worked 5 years at the electrical department at Tri-County, and I must say it is a superb program. And the school in itself is a superb school. Between the teachers, great administrators, and just a great building. I know that you've been struggling with, and I know eventually you guys will eventually come to us with a presentation in regards to your structural needs. I believe you are approaching the MSBA on some improvements, am I correct?
We're working with the MSBA. We were invited into the CORE project just last year. So we are in the position right now where we have hired an OPM and that we will be moving forward to with a feasibility study to see what the need is. That's certainly something that, the building was built in 1977. It is in great shape. I'm not going to, they do a tremendous job to try to keep up what they can, but then, you have pipes breaking in the floor and, right. Things that you can't see. And roof, all of a sudden out of nowhere this problem, and it's just, it just happens. Yeah.
It's kind of a catch-22 being a vocational school. You have the ability to maintain a building in such a great way that when the actual skeleton of the building actually starts to deteriorate, it's hard to tell because everything on the outside still looks good. I mean, it was a well-planned building from the wide hallways to the way the building's laid out to even the ADA compliances that the building has. So it was a really well thought out building when it was built. If there's anything that we can do, we would love to hear what we can do as a community to help support the building, help support the school, or any ideas that you may have. We're one of many communities that are part of the school, but we are being the host. We're always happy to listen to any of your needs. And I look forward to the direction that Tri-County goes on the leadership position.
Well, thank you very much. And I certainly will be, a presence in your town and with your meetings. And I had committed that to Jamie when we met, that was something that was important to me. I want to be part of the family.
Are you sure?
Pull up a chair.
Sorry.
Thank you, Councilor Jones. Councilor DeLocco.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thanks for coming in, Superintendent. Just a couple quick questions. I know that I'm a tradesman myself. I'm an auto truck diesel mechanic. But just kind of curious, when the kids get done, I'm not familiar with it, but do you, I know our unions are really hurting for work, and Councilor Jones can probably attest to that, but do you have contact with the unions to help these kids get jobs and stuff like that?
Yeah, that's a very important thing to me. My prior position before coming to Tri-County, I was the director of career pathways for a large vocational school in southeastern Massachusetts. And a lot of the work that I did was exactly that.
Okay.
So it's the expertise that I bring. Yeah, and I do have connections on several boards that I serve on with different people from Pipeford's Union and from the IBEW and a good number.
Okay.
I'm the state directors of Skills USA, which is an organization in Massachusetts for all students in career and tech ed. I'm on their board of directors, and there's a lot of connections that I have throughout the community. And again, that's the idea.
That's a great idea. Not everybody can go to college, for 1,000 years, So I do sit on the board for the Teamsters, so if you ever need any help with the Teamsters, feel free to give me a buzz.
Excellent, I will. And, even if you... People that do go to college, you need to pay for it. I don't know about you, but I had to pay for it, in some of it, some capacity, and I'm still in school now and paying for it. So
I know a kid that went to 4 years of college and has unbelievable $200,000 worth of student loans. He's making $70,000. He talked to the kid that was next to him, and he's in the sprinkler fitters union. The kid made $134,000 last year. So figure that out.
Thank you. You all set, Bob?
Yeah, I'm all set, too.
Thank you, Councilor DeLocco. Councilor Plagman.
I just wanted to say also, welcome to Franklin. Been happy to have you. And I think we've all used the Tri-County School in one way or another. I know that we've had a lot of printing done in that when I was clerk, so I hope that we will continue to be able to do that, too. But my other questions were really answered, and I was going to ask you about your previous job, and you did just say that about your positions in Easton. So I just wish you the best of luck, and if we can ever help you with anything, please let us know. And just so that the people realize, a lot of your kids do go to college.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. You know, sometimes people think that it's a tri-county, a vocational school, and they're going to learn a trade and that's it. But that's not the case. They do go on to college.
Right. There are options. The students graduate with options, right? Exactly. Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. And welcome.
Thanks again.
Thank you, Councilor Pellegrini. Any other councilors? Superintendent McGuire, thank you very
All right, thank
much
you
for
very
coming
much.
Forward. We look forward to your next visit.
All right, great. Thanks again. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, moving on. Subcommittee reports. Before we go to subcommittee reports, I'm being told that the call-in number is not shown on the screen, so now it's back. It wasn't there a minute ago.
2 seconds.
So it is back up there now. Thank you. Thank you, Chris. Okay, subcommittee reports, capital budget? Nothing. Budget? No, they have not met.
No.
Economic development? Councilor Hamlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through the chair, we haven't met, but we will meet at the before the next town council meeting. One of the things on the agenda so far is to discuss the wayfinding signs. Okay, so thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Hamlin. Moving on, legislation for action, resolution 21-50, gift acceptance, veterans services, $400. Clerk will read the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is resolution 2150, acceptance of gift for the Franklin Veteran Services Department. Whereas the Franklin Veteran Service Department has received 4 generous donations totaling $400. These donations will be used to support the War Monument Restoration Project and the Municipal Veterans Assistance Program Fund. Donation summary as such: War Monument Restoration, Arthur Lewis Breed, $100. Nancy Pendleton, $100. And John Pendleton, $100. For Municipal Veterans Assistance Fund, Raymond and Jane D'Amelio, $100. For total amount of donation, $400. Now, therefore, be resolved that the Town Council of the Town of Franklin, on behalf of the Franklin Veterans Services Department, gratefully accepts this generous donation to be used by the Franklin Vet Services Department for the purposes of the noted above. This resolution should become effective according to the provisions of the Town of Franklin Home Rule Charter.
Move resolution 21-50.
Second.
Motion and second. Discussion. Jamie.
Just want to thank all those families for their generous contributions. Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. Councilor Jones.
Thank you. I just want to say thank you to these individuals for supporting the veterans here in the Town of Franklin. Very, very much appreciate it.
Okay, seeing no further discussion, the vote will come on the motion to approve resolution 21-50. A majority votes required. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Resolution 21-51, cable funds in support of PEG service and programming for per MGL, chapter Mass General Laws, chapter 44. Subsection 53, F3 and 4. Clerk will read the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is resolution 2151, appropriation cable funds in support of PEG service and programming per Mass General Law, chapter 44, subsection 53, F and 3 quarters. Total amount requested, $167,901.85. Purpose, the appropriate $167,901.85 from the PEG access and cable related fund created under Mass General Law Chapter 44, subsection 53F3/4, representing the amount received in the previous quarter to be paid to the Franklin Cable Access Corporation to operate the cable access studio and otherwise fund its operations. Motion, be it moved and voted that the town council of the sum of $167,901.85 be appropriated from the PEG access and cable related fund created under Mass General Law Chapter 44, subsection 53F3/4, to be paid to the Franklin Cable Access Corporation to operate the cable access studio and otherwise fund its operations. This resolution should become effective according to the provisions of the Town of Franklin Home Charter.
Move resolution 21-51.
Second.
Motion and second. Discussion. Jamie?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As everybody knows, this is the quarterly vote y'all have to take to deposit the fees from the cable licenses into the PEG fund. This is a state statutory requirement. Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. Questions or comments from the council? Councilor Pellegrini.
Through the chair to Jamie. You know that every time cable is brought up, I say the same thing over and over. All of this money and nothing can go back to the residents. Is there anything that we can do?
Through you, Mr. Chairman. I think I've hopefully answered it in a similar fashion prior. The only mechanism you have at your ability is to negotiate during the licensure process to reduce the fee that goes to the cable Franklin TV. So in essence, if you're doing 5% now, you could do 4 or 3. And all it's really doing is reducing the amount of money Franklin TV has to do their work. Other than that, there's absolutely no legal ability for us to divert any of the funds back to citizens. Thank you.
How much would actually have to be taken off of this to go back to the residents? You said 4 or 3%. What would that do to someone's bill?
Through you, Mr. Chairman. My best guess is probably nothing, and I'm going to tell you why. Because the cable company is just going to eat that money up themselves. I don't think you're going to ever see a day where they drop rates, on their own. I think Councilor Kelly in the past has been steadfast that, you know, alternative means of cable is probably the best way to go with streaming and cutting the cable cord and going to Hulu and other stuff like that.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Mr.
Chairman.
Thank you, Councilor Pellegrini. Councilor Bazzappi?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, through the chair to Jamie. Maybe this is just a generic question, but can we talk to Verizon, or is that an option too, or is it just another 6-1 half a dozen of the other?
Through you, Mr. Chairman, 6-1 half a dozen of the other. Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, they're regulated by the federal government, FCC. It's really a consumer-based decision at the end of the day about how you want to spend your money. If you want to save money on cable, you know, get a subscription to Netflix and watch whatever's on there and, you know, dispense with the other stuff. Get an ESPN app. You know, that those types of things are really the only ways you're going to actually save money from cable.
Okay, I need you the floor for some.
Sure.
There is the chair. So, I know this isn't probably the poster child for all towns, but it's just so on a personal level. I am dealing with Verizon now, and they're going to be saving my household a substantial amount of money based on the cable costs. So I don't know if that was just a sales pitch, but it certainly sounded like I'd be saving money with Verizon. So can we do that as a town?
Through you, Mr. Chairman. So in this instance, actually, Councilor Bisanti and Franklin, you actually have competition.
Have the choice.
And that's actually, you know, the way that this community has done it for many years, and I think when we go to negotiate those licenses, one of the things we typically fight for Franklin TV is more capital money, more infrastructure money. This year we got the TV guide, so you can actually program shows, you know, DVR, which is great for a lot of the sports events and things of that sort that people want to do. So it's kind of taking everything up Franklin TV into a little bit more of the later century. But at the end of the day, a lot of towns, Councilor Bisanti, do not have multiple cable contracts, and you're stuck with the one vendor, and therefore you have less competition. So I don't know the details of what you're talking about, but I would suspect that Verizon is giving a sales pitch to try to get your business. And you know, it's pretty well known. Verizon is really the future of wireless. That's what they're coming in everywhere to do. They're looking at 5G, they're looking at faster internet, they're looking at streaming, they're looking at phones. Comcast is clearly the entity that is maintaining its traditional cable subscribership rates, and the numbers just absolutely bear that to be true. And the trend is going to be that way for at least the next 5 to 10 years.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Jamie. But what I'm asking, can't the Verizon savings that a consumer enjoys, can't that be enjoyed by a municipality by having that choice? Can't we? I don't want to get in a bidding war.
Yeah, when we negotiate our contracts with them, which we just completed last year.
Have we ever given Verizon a shot, though? Or, no.
Through Mr. Chairman, there is an active agreement with Verizon. In fact, after the council voted in favor of the Comcast license, Verizon sent us the five. Typically, there's an option in it, and so Verizon exercised the same deal as Comcast. They exercised that five-year option that they had in their license from 5 or 6 years ago. They executed that pretty much right away. So Verizon and Comcast both have secured licenses to the next 5 years. Comcast would be an additional five beyond that. So the next chance would be 2026 for Verizon.
But we can't get them butting heads in a bidding war for Franklin.
We can't, but the as individuals, as taxpayers in this as consumers, we have the ability to pit. I know it's a pain in the neck, but because we are a community that has two cable companies, we have the ability to pit one against the other. It does require a lot of
It's totally consumer driven if the
Absolutely.
Residents want to enjoy lesser fees.
Yeah.
I mean, Comcast is kind of like Council Pellegrini and I've talked about it. They're outrageous.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you.
Councilor DeLauro.
You just said you're going to go to Verizon from Comcast because it's so good. So they
sound like they are.
Yeah, well, they probably are, but my bill in Verizon was so high, Comcast gave me a better deal. I'm going back and forth. It's a 2 year thing. You know, it's a 2 year thing, and I know 2 years from now, Comcast is going to be crazy.
It's unfortunate that we have to do it as consumers, but it's really the only way to get our cable bill down is to pit one against the other, and sometimes that requires you moving equipment every couple
changing email.
Councilor Chandler.
Just quickly through you, Mr. Chairman. Yep. If you look at these payments, the town must be split in half between Verizon and Comcast, because Verizon's given us $79,000 and Comcast has given us $80,000. That's what we're giving the same money.
Pretty much.
Just wanted to say that. Thank you.
Councilor Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a point to make in regards to the PEG Access and Cable Related Fund. This is something that, so long as we have Verizon and Comcast in the town, we never want to negotiate reducing that rate, because the money that we have that comes in through this percentage, was it five, Jamie? I'm sorry,
5%. 5%.
That 5% is key. It is key to our town's communication system, Franklin TV, the radio station, all the other amenities and resources that Franklin has in regards to PEG access from our viewership on government channel, to the educational channel, to the school channel. All that money goes towards supporting our communication network here in the town. And if anything, what would be an ideal situation is that our next time around, which I know is still another
five years.
So the next time we negotiate with them, hopefully, as they start to lose a bit of their market share, because we decide as consumers to look elsewhere, that they realize maybe if they make more of a contribution into the community, that we would ultimately benefit from that. So, in my opinion, I think in the long run, if we continue to press them in as consumers, we could end up getting more PEG funding to go towards our community.
And just another point for not everybody may remember, but when we built the new high school, there was a substantial donation that came from the cable access people to the school in getting up the TV and the radio station at the school.
So some of that money can come back into the school. So seeing no further comments, the vote will come on the motion to approve Resolution 21-51. Majority votes required. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Resolution 21-52, Budget Stabilization Policy. Clerk will read the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Resolution 21-52, Acceptance of Budget Stabilization Policy. Whereas the Finance Committee at June 16, 2021 committee meeting discussed the Budget Stabilization Policy proposal, and whereas the proposal had passed 9-0 by the Finance Committee, now therefore be it ordered that the Town of Franklin, acting by and through its Town Council, accepts the Budget Stabilization Policy, a true copy of which is attached hereto as a memorandum dated September 1st, 2021. This resolution shall become effective according to the provisions of the Town of Franklin local charter.
Move Resolution 21-52.
Second.
Motion and a second. Discussion. Jamie?
Through you, Mr. Chairman. So I see Sue Doosnap on the call tonight. Hi, Sue. I hope you're well. I just wanted to acknowledge her. The proposal before the council this evening is actually a suggestion that the Finance Committee has been brought up for several years now. And while we were sad to see Ms. Doosnap move on, we're excited to see her volunteering at the food pantry and other things in town. She did 10 years on the Finance Committee, which is an incredible term. And this is something that Sue and the rest of the Finance Committee has worked quite hard on over the last few years. And I think for all of you on the council, you're familiar with the Budget Stabilization Fund. Several years ago, we did have a large amount of money in there, I think in the order of $1 to $1.5 million. It patched some budget gaps for a few years, and a couple years ago, it came down to $0. And just for the reminder of the public for background, we now have $1 million in the Budget Stabilization Fund due to the commitment of the Town Council here tonight, the Town staff, and the Finance Committee, and trying to prioritize to make sure we have adequate quote-unquote rainy day funds, if you will, in an account. As the deposit a couple years ago had been put in to $850,000 that the council appropriated into that rainy day fund one of the years, the Finance Committee really wanted to have a policy in our financial policies about how to use that money, how much do we want there as a community. And so we worked with them over several meetings to have a discussion about that. And before you tonight is fiscal policy number 19, which is the budget stabilization policy. Again, I kind of referenced it in more layman's terms as a rainy day fund. But it says here to set a target fund balance equal to 2% of prior fiscal year general revenue, general fund operating revenue, which just for those at home equates roughly about $2 to $2.5 million if you're using that 2%. So that's the raw dollar total. It would change obviously every year depending on what the previous fund was. This is again very similar to other policies like OPEB that the council has in terms of using a percentage to kind of target something. The stabilization fund is a one-time revenue source for general fund operating budget shortfalls. This is just simply the way statutory stabilization funds are set up. It's a specific purpose for a specific reason, and you cannot go out of those bounds. And so really, those are one-time revenue sources because once you use it, it's gone. And also the Finance Committee had endorsed the idea of no more than 50% of the fund balance could be spent in any fiscal year to balance the operating budget. This was the piece that generated by far the most discussion, was how to use those funds and is there a rule to use? And I thought, and the finance staff thought this was a good rule of thumb, if you have $2 million, if we were able to meet that someday and you had $2 million, it would be reasonable, barring any unforeseen circumstance, where we certainly can change the policy, but to set a target of using the entire amount, I don't think is very good fiscal policy to just say one year, it's gonna be convenient, let's use everything and just wipe out the account. So the Finance Committee had a lot of concerns over that and saying, okay, if we're in a budget shortfall that's significant, there's gotta be other issues than just being able to rein them. And if you look at state government this year, they did an excellent job, you know, managing the rainy day account.
I believe at one point there was almost $4 billion in the rainy day fund. And they did use a couple years ago in the pandemic, they did use a significant amount of that. And they've also replenished quite a bit of that as the pandemic has kind of theoretically recovered. So we all agreed, it was a great discussion. And so the proposals before the council tonight. I will also note that the financial policies in totality were last reviewed in 2019. Before that, they hadn't been reviewed in a real long time. This group, and as well as the finance committee and various subcommittees, did look at the whole suite of financial policies. And I certainly expect that a review of all financial policies will be one of the goals of the incoming council coming January. It'll certainly be on our list to have that review again. I do think it's important to do that review at least every 2 or 3 years or at some increment, and not leaving it you know, to the 6, 7, 8, 9, or 10 year reviews, which just seems too long. So it's certainly an open discussion for the council this evening, and I do see Snoop Sue on the call. I'm not sure if she has any thoughts, but happy to answer any questions the council has. Thank you.
Thank you, Jane. Questions or comments from the council? Councilor Hamblin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through the chair to Jamie and Sue, I remember watching a few of these FinCom meetings when this came up, and I thought this was a really great idea. I have one question about how we put money into this fund. So it said we want to shoot for 2%, and it's not all going to come during 1 year, I think is what was in your memo. Is there a minimum amount of free cash that we have to put into this? I guess is my question.
Through you, Mr. Chairman. So excellent question, because this was of debate. And I think the sentiment at some point, if you look at the stabilization accounts for other accounts like OPEB, for example, that's 10% of free cash. And we know from our auditors and from the illustrious Dan Sherman, our actuarial, that we are way above and in front of many communities on OPEB. So I think the Finance Committee and others were like, well, wait a minute, we're not going to scale that back. And I think there was also a sentiment that free cash was starting to go up and down a little bit and be a little bit more of a roller coaster. We still don't know what this year will be. The free cash will be certified later in October, November. But I think they resisted the idea of putting a percentage in because you already have so many other accounts where there's a deposit. You know, I think that this is really a situation where, like the previous deposits last year, the year before, if there is another 100,000, 200,000, of unused funds, or if the capital program, you know, if for example, we've just went out and bought a lot of new fire apparatus, right? I don't believe that we really need to invest a lot of extra free cash right now in new vehicles. Well, maybe there's another 100,000 in free cash that we would normally do that, we can put it in this, you know? That's really gonna be a discretion of the capital committee and this council to appropriate in the future. So I think the finance committee wanted to leave it up to the decision makers on a year-to-year basis and say, hey, let's have that conversation and maybe there can be a little extra money if we're fortunate enough to have it to save for a rainy day. Additionally, with the federal stimulus money, which we'll get to later this fall, you know, that obviously is going to allow a little bit more flexibility for the community to not have to use free cash for PPE or other things that we may need, vaccine clinics or other needs in the next couple of years. So hopefully we're in good shape, and you know, so we did discuss that, but it was turned down eventually by the committee.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Councilor Hamblin. Any other questions, Councilor Chandler?
Through you, Mr. Chairman. It's funny you brought up Sue, because I actually called her for some questions that I had today, because I knew she was very involved in this, and we definitely miss her on the Finance Committee. But I had one quick question. Because I am on the Capital Committee, so some of the money that we're using for capital, through you to
Sure.
Town Administrator, some of the money we're using in the capital budget, can we take some of the money out of this for, like, say, the snow, use it for that instead of overruns coming out of the capital?
Through you, Mr. Chairman, you could, because the snow and ice removal is an operating expense.
Okay.
At some point, it becomes
moving shells around.
Right.
But I will say the one unique feature about snow and ice is you are allowed under statute to run in the red on that because it's a public emergency. So you could use budget stabilization fund to plug any budget gaps, due to snow and ice because it's in the operating budget. That's correct.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Councilor Chandler. Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, the vote will come on the motion to approve Resolution 21-52. Again, a majority vote's required. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Town Administrator's Report, 2020 and 2021 Town Council Goals.
Update. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So just as everybody knows, quick background, every 2 year legislative session, the council and the town administrator, beginning in January, have a goal setting session. And here is the list I've included in the packet of the goals that we all set 2 years ago. It's hard to believe it was 2 years ago already. But we have an update in here of all the progress and the completion. I did a quick roll call through it. Other than a couple of goals relative to civic engagement, which were not really substantially high priorities, or a couple of other things that have been mulling around for a while, like demolition delay bylaw reviews, this council and our town staff have accomplished everything on this list. A couple of zoning items obviously had a lot of debate, as Councilor Hamlin mentioned earlier, relative to housing. And I think that even though nothing firmly got done on those, I do feel that we did an incredible job having a lot of community input. We had a lot of meetings on that, and it's okay to not necessarily have consensus on something substantially complicated as inclusionary zoning and housing zoning. This is some of the most complicated and detailed stuff we do, and I still believe that all of the listening sessions and commentary we got from a lot of folks in the community was still extremely valuable, and that input is reflected in the housing production plan. Obviously, the housing production plan hasn't been complete. The planning board's hearing is on the 27th. We hope that the council will take this up in short order soon. But if you look at this list of goals, I hope, forgive me for being overly positive, but really, you look at this list, I really hope that this council and the town staff and the community at large feel a tremendous amount of accomplishment and pride at what got done this year. It's almost as if a pandemic truly did not happen, or there was nothing else that happened this year. There's a tremendous amount of achievement, and we really look forward to building off of the success of these. So if any counselors or anybody in the public have any questions about any of these projects or where they stand, certainly feel free to contact our office. And finally, in the report, as of August 26th, there were 23 confirmed cases of COVID in the town of Franklin. And sadly, as I know many of you know, the town had its 49th passing last week from COVID-related illnesses. So 49 folks over the last 18 months have lost their lives in this community to COVID. And so, as you know, I'm not putting it on the agenda, but I do want to try to give as many updates as I can at these meetings relative to the pandemic. And relative to COVID cases. So,
and just for people who were listening, the week before we were at 33.
We were at 31 the week before.
31, yep. And we're down to 23. Yep. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairman.
Any questions or comments? Sure.
If I may.
Kobe?
Yeah. And this is sort of, we just passed the budget stabilization, which I think it's sound policy, but I don't think we should equate a single year of equal budget with long-term fiscal solvency, and there are some things in that were pointed out in here, right? We're still behind on our road maintenance, we're still behind on stormwater. There are some funds that some longer term funds that we're going to need to bring in more revenue, and that was one of the things that was mentioned was pass the new revenue. And the single best way for us to bring in new revenue is to change land uses to make them more productive places for the town. is why I'm excited about revisiting zoning. It's why I'm excited to finally start to move forward on some of the housing production plan once that comes forward. But I do think that, yeah, there's some larger changes that we still need to make sure that we're meeting especially the infrastructure demands of town. And that was my read from where we're at with the goals.
Thank you, Councilor Frangillo. Any other questions? Okay, moving on, future agenda items. Councilor Frangillo.
Not at this time.
Councilor Bizanti.
Nothing more at this time, I'm still working with my selection.
Okay. Councilor Chandler.
Nothing at this time.
Councilor Hamblin.
I actually do thank you, Mr. Chairman, through the chair to Jamie. The AgCom has had a booth at the farmer's market, and there was some suggestions that were given to the, put in their suggestion box, and one of them was a presentation on the plan for Maple Hill. Are there gonna be bike paths? Are we thinking about hiking trails? Where are the parking lot's gonna be? That kind of stuff. I know it's off in the future, but I just wanted to put it out there so maybe we could have an open hearing about that someday. People could say, like, I'd like to see this.
Sure.
Okay,
sure.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilor Hanlon. Councilor Plagrie.
No, at this time.
Councilor Jones.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I have a couple of things I'd like to add to a future agenda item. The first one being what is referred to as a local tax exemption for veterans, which is referred to as clause 22, 22A, 22B, 22C, 22D, E, and F, and a local option. This past Sunday, myself and Councilor DeMarco met with Scott Carruthers, as well as several veterans and others from the VFW in discussion of an option that is listed that we may have the option to do here in the town of Franklin that I would like to put to a discussion across the councils, across the community, that is referred to just by way of explanation as to what this is. We as a community are allowed to offer exemptions by state law up to a certain amount of money. On top of that, there is an optional additional exemption that is stated here called by local option, a municipality may grant an additional exemption for all taxpayers who qualify the personal exemptions. An additional exemption may be set at a percentage of up to 100%, which is where the debate's gonna come in, of that personal exemption amount. The percentage increase must be uniform for all exemptions. An additional exemption cannot reduce the applicant's tax to less than tax owed from previous fiscal year or tax owed in the current fiscal year on 10% of the fair cash value of their domicile. So this is for, and there's a whole set of criteria the veterans have to meet already in order to be eligible for the state level property exemption, but the optional addition one would be, for instance, as an example, the municipality could vote to adopt an additional optional exemption of 100% for the fiscal year. An applicant who meets clause 22 veterans exemptions would receive the exemption of $400 and an additional exemption of up to $400 for a total possible exemption of $800 for veterans that meet this criteria. It's something I'd like to add to
absolutely
one item to the future agenda. The other item I would like to add for a future discussion is revisiting our policy on lowering our flags to half-mast for certain holidays, occasions, and events that I know was discussed sometime in the past, but I'd like to revisit that again, just as a way of discussion.
Sure, as a way of discussion, we can do that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Councilor DeLocco.
Just agree with Councilor Jones on the that meeting that we had on Sunday. You know, it's not every vet, it's just it's disabled vets and stuff like that. So it would really help some people. So I'd like to get that on as fast as I could. Outside of that, no, I think I don't have anything else.
Thank you, Councilor DeLocco. Okay, Councilor comments, Councilor Chandler.
Through you, Mr. Chairman. First, thank you, Councilor Jones and Councilor DeLocco, for getting right on that veterans exemption. It was a big deal. There was a lot of people looking for help with that. Thank you. through you, Mr. Chairman, to Town Administrator. Lincoln Street's done. I did it. Anyone want to drive down there tonight?
An extra
just
five.
Just to say you did.
You're speeding down.
Yeah, I was just saying an extra 10 miles an hour on every car.
It is.
And the bottom of your car will be intact.
I was pretty excited. I drove up there today. This goes a little bit towards what Councilor Jones was talking about with the flags. Last year, Councilor Pellegrini, myself, Chrissy, she was involved, and I miss her. DPW director, veterans agent director. We put a policy together for the 911 flags on that day. So I just want to make sure that Brutus has that on his desk, please.
The town administrator forwarded the DPW director an email because, you know, the town administrator
we talked away about
for
today
a few days and made sure it was clear. And I will give the DPW director credit because I emailed him last week as a reminder. He did send his entire command staff a reminder of the exact times to put them down and put them back up.
I appreciate that. I mean,
that just came in earlier today, Council.
Council Pellegri can attest that he was very helpful to us. Yeah. We got that done, and that was very thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Chandler. Councilor Hamlin?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to let people know that on the 10th of September, during the farmer's market, there's going to be zucchini races. Think of it as a Pinewood Derby sort of thing. Put wheels on your vegetables, and it's really kind of fun to watch everybody design their own zucchini cars. And we're looking for, and the AgCom is looking for volunteers, so you can email Roger Trahan. He is the chair of the AgCom right now, and he's taking volunteers to help us. The 9/11 memorial ceremony is at the Franklin Fire Department headquarters at 10 o'clock on Saturday. Just stay safe, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Hamlin. Councilor Pellegrini?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to begin by saying thank you to Jeff, Representative Roy, for coming out and having Senator Warren here for two visits, one at the library and one at the Common. I think that the people that showed up there that came to listen to her were very, very pleased, and we have to be thankful that she's able to come here because she does so much for us. Between she and Senator Roche and Spilker and Representative Roy, they all work very hard to get us our grants here in Franklin, so we have to be more than appreciative to them. That was the beginning of my speech. Now I'd like to say that I was never so embarrassed in all of my life. I've been involved with politics for 37 years. I've been elected, and I have never once had people come forward and act the way that they did on this day. The protesters that showed up on our beautiful common, which I am all for speech. You know, don't anybody start calling me and saying, oh, it's, you know, we're able to speak. Showed up on our beautiful common, were loud, ignorant, and very, very rude. I'm sure their parents taught them, if you can't say something good about someone, don't say something at all. And these people, they don't like Senator Warren, and that's fine. They have the right to feel that way, but you don't have to come and ruin an event for all of us that wanted to be there. Our heart was in it, and we were thankful for her. And I can't tell you the people that came around and said something about what can you do about it, but that's another part. They certainly don't like the senator, so they should not have stayed. They should have stayed home. Instead, this group, including candidates for town council, and those for re-election stood with them. This I found terrible because we are against hate. And I think that that protest was a hateful, hateful protest. I really do. I'm speaking for myself, not everyone on the council here. We don't tolerate hate, and if I had my way, they would have been escorted out by the police. One woman called me and said, "How do we know that there weren't any weapons there that day? I was afraid," she said. After the insurgent at the Capitol, she said, "I thought about that." And she said, "I left the Common. I didn't stay there." Isn't that a horrible thing for here in Franklin? Come on, we've never had anything like this. This handful of protesters, some others are on Facebook criticizing our town constantly. And I think that's a terrible thing to do. You live here in Franklin, do your best. Do your best and help us out. Don't criticize. I hope none of these people have children and families, and they're showing them that this is what they should be doing now. Protest all you want. You could have been there just with a sign and quiet. But to treat U.S. Senator that way was horrible, embarrassing, and it hurt me terribly, okay? We need people who are caring, honest, and not full of hate to serve our friends and residents of Franklin. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know it went a little longer, but...
Thank you, Councilor Pellegrini. Councilor Frangiello.
Yes, thank you. Gave the planning board a hard time already today, but as well as last year. But I will say they moved forward on housing production plan, and I'm happy to see. I mean, this is a document that says affordable housing is a problem in town, and we're going to seek solutions. We can disagree on those solutions at a later time. This is a document that allows us to move forward, and it's something that the state asked us to do. So I'm happy to see that they have begun to move forward, and hope that they continue to. September 14th, Cultural Festival, super excited about that. There's a lot going on, food trucks and lots of local artists. That should be a great event. And the last thing, just because it came up with Lincoln Street, because Lincoln Street, it would have been a great opportunity to, you know, it is going to be faster, and you know, it's already people speeding through, and it is dangerous for pedestrians and bikers, and it would have been a great opportunity to have state funding to look at some traffic calming solutions and some alternative transportation paths. And so I look forward to moving forward on complete streets. So the next time a street comes up like that, we don't have to go exactly back to what we had before.
Thank you, Councilor Frangiello. Councilor Bizzanti.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sort of piggyback on Councilor Frangiello's housing initiative. I'm all for housing, and I work with the homeless. I want to see affordable housing come to Franklin. But I'm also a realist, and I will tell you that Kobe and I were talking about it last night at the Safe Coalition Vigil. Believe it or not, we have people that speak against it. I can't understand it, but I will push for it, and I do listen. I've gotten the emails. People need affordable housing, Franklin. This town is very expensive. Although we have a great tax rate, it's. I want to say an affordable home in Franklin right now is probably $500,000. And that might not be a pristine brand new house. That will be your run-of-the-mill 1800s colonial that probably was updated in the 50s. So I do appraisal work. I see them all the time, and they're appraising well over $500,000 in Franklin. On a more somber note, I want to give my condolences to the Travis family. Last year, they lost their daughter, Corrine, and this week, they lost their daughter, Kim, to an aneurysm, and it just came out of the blue. She had a headache, and she passed out at work, and she never woke up. And I just came back from her wake this evening, and I had close ties with the Travis family. We had a laundromat and dry cleaning place together. And all the girls worked for us, my wife and all the girls and his wife. And just, I guess, an end of an era in my chapter of my life. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilor. Councilor Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple of things. One, of course, one of the things I really appreciate about the way our council has been running in the past few years is having the police chief and fire department come in and do these ceremonies today. I want to thank everyone who came out to see it, and have the officers come in and get sworn in front of us. It's an honor to me. I'm
certain everyone probably feels the same way. It's really great to see these officers sworn in right in front of the council like that every single time. And I'm sure they're out celebrating and enjoying themselves right now, but I'm just sometimes it just makes me so proud to see that. Another thing that makes me both proud and happy and sad at the same time is yesterday was Overdose Awareness Day, and last night at the Franklintown Commons, the Safe Coalition put together an event for a candlelight vigil that the whole community was invited to attend. And I was speaking with Jim Derrick, who said that they laid out on the town commons 2,104 purple flags to represent the lost souls in the year 2000 alone, just in Massachusetts, that lost their lives to overdoses. And I took a picture of that, of those flags, and it really struck home with me seeing all those flags together in one location, and just knowing that every single one of those is a lost life, is a lost soul, all because of the dreadful disease that is drugs and alcohol. And my hope, my prayers are that if anyone out there has problems, if there's something you're struggling with, reach out to the Safe Coalition, reach out to somebody. You're not alone. There's a way to get help. Speak to somebody. There's always somebody available to help. You're not alone with that. And I want to thank everyone who came out last night to join the candlelight vigil. It was very somber. Listening to the stories, if I talk about it, I'm just going to start to cry. So I'm just gonna leave it at that. But I do want to state one simple thing, is that everybody, and one thing I love about this country so much, is that everybody has the right to their opinion. I love our First Amendment. I love the fact that we can have an honest, open dialogue when it comes to these discussions. Everyone's not going to agree. Everyone's not going to disagree. And at the end of the day, the one thing I've always enjoyed about being on this council for almost 12 years now is the fact that regardless of difference of opinion, regardless of background and thoughts and education that goes behind every single person that's ever sat in this council, the one thing I know for certain is regardless of everyone's thoughts, opinions, that at the end of the day, our decisions are for the betterment of the community of the town of Franklin as a whole, period. That is something I learned from Bob Valley when I stepped foot on this council back in 2009, and I try to stick by that simple standard that no matter what I do at the end of the day, my thoughts, my thought process, my decisions, my choices need to be for the town of Franklin as a whole, period. That includes 34,800 people that make up our community. I joke that with me, I put a wall around Franklin and just say, everyone, stay out with Franklin. Don't worry about anything else. But Mr. Chairman, thank you for the time and the ability to speak.
Thank you, Councilor Jones. Councilor DeLocco.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I'd like to give my condolences to the Constantino family. Dave was a great guy. Did a lot of remodel, a lot of house building in town. His kids actually, I don't know, my kids, he was a great guy. He surely will be missed. Prayers to his family because they need it. And I do want to thank my fellow councilors for coming out last night for the Safe Coalition Recovery Night. That 2,104, that was last year. We're probably going to have more this year than that. And that's not counting the ODs that we have. That I don't even know what that stat would be. How many people OD'd and came back? I know one kid last week. His father sits on the board with me on the Safe Coalition. He OD'd twice last week. It's getting worse and worse. So please, we have a hotline. We have an office over in Norfolk. We have plenty of resources. So just reach out, especially if you really want to do it. If you really want to get into recovery, we'll be there for you. So just please call. That's why we're here. There. We just had to hire another person because the phone's off the wall. She was an intern for us, and we just gave her a job. So that's how bad it is.
and I don't mean to be rude or anything, but you guys saw it last night. You heard the story last night. That's just one of many stories. So please, if you can, I'll be like Glenn. I'll be starting to cry in a couple minutes. I'm going to stop. But, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilor DeLocco. Again, I would offer my condolences to the Constantino family and the Travers family for their losses. And I would piggyback on Councilor Jones, Councilor DeLocco, and the rest of my fellow councilors for the coming out to the Safe Coalition's vigil last night. It was something that was very meaningful to a lot of people, and if you were there and listened to some of the stories, it can't help but break your heart. And these people on the Safe Coalition are doing great things for our community. They need to be thanked. I know my fellow councilors, when we see those people, and our community should be shaking hands with those people and saying thank you for all you do, because it is strictly a volunteer situation. So with that, we do have the need for an executive session considering the purchase, exchange, lease, or value of real property, because an open meeting may have a detrimental effect on the negotiating position of the board. Clerk will read.
And you need to declare yourself.
Say what?
You as a chairman so declare.
And I so declare.
Right. Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to enter into executive session for purposes of considering the purchase, exchange, lease, and value of real property, because of an open meeting may have a detrimental effect on the negotiation position of the board, and do not plan to.
We will reconvene to open session.
With a plan to reconvene open session after executive session.
Second.
Motion and a second. Roll call vote. Clerk will call the roll.
I will. Chairman.
Yes.
Hamlin.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
He doesn't know.
Pellegrini.
Oh, he doesn't have
the thing. Yes. Frangillo. Pisanti.
Yes.
Yes. Chair. Chair.
Yes.
I don't have my book.
2 minute break.
Thank you.
Okay. I will bring the September 1st meeting of the Town Council reconvene into public session. And I will report from executive session that we are in receipt of a statement of intent to convert, pursuant to Mass General Laws Chapter 61A, property at the address 215 Prospect Street in Franklin, Mass. By us being in receipt of this letter, a very long process starts. And the first stage of that process is for the town to contract with a licensed real estate appraiser to get an appraisal of that property. That's all the information we have. And as I stated, it's a very long process. This is the very beginning of the process. And we will continue to update the public as the process proceeds. And with that, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Non-debatable. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, one and all, for a lengthy evening, and thank you to those who stayed
through the executive session. Thank you.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.